President Biden is asking Congress to more than double the funding to support Ukraine in its war against Russia. Some of the $33 billion he's asking for would be used to ease global economic stress. Here he is speaking at the White House today.
We're working with other nations like Korea, Japan, Qatar, and others to support our effort to help European allies threatened by Russia with gas, blackmail, and their energy needs in other ways. Aggression will not win.
Europe is bracing for a future without Russian energy. Yesterday, Moscow shut off natural gas to Poland and Bulgaria. Let's turn now to Ali Velshi, anchor and economics correspondent at MSNBC. Hi, Ali.
Hi, Jane.
Most of the money the president is asking for will go to help Ukraine's military, but some would also be used to increase U.S. production of wheat and soybeans. Do you think this spending will do much to ease the stress on the global economy?
Well, I think it's important that you just played that clip from President Biden, because what he's talking about is that other countries are also going to have to get involved. So it's a good amount of money. It's not enough to offset the inflation, the higher prices of energy. About $20 billion of the $33 billion is going to military stuff. Some of that's going to Ukraine. Some of it's going to U.S. military efforts in the region, European security, NATO allies. You know, we've kept moving equipment closer and closer to Ukraine. Well, that's U.S. equipment. So that's where some of that money is going. About $8.5 billion is going to the Ukrainian economy, which, of course, is completely crippled by the fact that there's no travel in and out, there's no tourism, a lot of businesses stopped. So that's part of it. And then, as you said, about $3 billion is going around the globe to subsidize wheat, which has become more expensive because Ukraine is such a big producer of it. And there's also money going towards small and medium-sized American agricultural businesses during the fall harvest because natural gas prices are higher as a result of what's going on over there. So it's a very broad-based $33 billion, not enough to offset everything that's gone wrong, but probably a leadership role with partner countries who will do similar things.
So yesterday, Russia, of course, halted natural gas to Poland and Bulgaria because they will not pay for it in rubles. Those countries don't rely on Russian natural gas as much as other larger economies do. So how much risk is there to Europe's economy if Russia keeps going and cuts off natural gas to companies like to countries like Germany or even Italy?
Yeah, so Poland years ago, when it as it became a bigger sort of more economically developed country, it built natural gas receiving ports. So it's actually got them. It gets natural gas from anyone who can ship it to their ports. Germany, which consumes far more energy than Poland does, has zero of them. Italy gets 40% of its fuel from Russia. So for Poland, it's not that big a deal. This is more of a shot across the bow. It's not entirely clear what Vladimir Putin gets out of demanding payment for oil in rubles or energy in rubles. But it's more the ability to tell these countries we can actually do this. Now, he's starting with countries that don't depend on it as much. It is very dangerous for Russia, which gets more than 40% of its foreign reserves from selling energy, to play this game, because all these other countries already want to get off Russian energy, but they can't do it as fast as Bulgaria or Poland can. This may just force their hand. If all of a sudden we can't get the natural gas to start with, then we should increase our speed at which we can get it from somewhere else. And there are other suppliers lining up. The main issue is logistics. How do you change your supplier of natural gas and other forms of energy? It's hard to do in a hurry.
So talk more about that, because the long-term plan, the strategy in Europe is to end its dependence on Russia for gas. But how is it possible to do that quickly? I mean, you know, within months or even weeks here?
So, you know, oil and coal, which are the other two things they sell, you can move that around quickly because you can put it on a ship and send it anywhere there's a port. Natural gas has to be liquefied, sent on particular ships, of which there aren't a whole bunch of extra ones lying around, and they have to be sent from and to specifically built ports for receiving and sending natural gas. And that's part of the problem. The export terminals around the world are running at full capacity right now, so there isn't extra place where you can put natural gas on. There's lots of extra natural gas. It's just hard to get it there. And in the case of Germany and other countries, there's not a single receiving port to get it. So they're going to try and accelerate. And America has helped. They've said they'll help do it. Qatar, a big natural gas exporter, has also said they'll help people build the ports, but it's a big infrastructure build. You can't do this stuff in less than, let's say, a year at best. And sometimes it's several years.
So is it sustainable then for Russia to stop selling gas to Europe? You know, won't its own economy take a hit without that income? About 30 seconds, Ali.
Yeah, I think Russia's economy is already taking the hit. So this is more of a muscle flexing to show people at home that Russia's got some sway over the world. Ultimately, it's very bad for Russia. They'll find other buyers for the natural gas. India seems to be willing to buy every last drop of it, and so will China. So in the end, it will hurt. Russia will be able to sell its fuel. It'll do so at a discount, and everybody's getting hurt in the process.
Ali Velshi, anchor and economics correspondent at MSNBC. As always, Ali, thanks.
My pleasure.